You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. I think we have a poll question. Is that right, McLovin?
Yeah, you can have Baylor and Gonzaga or the field, and it's up to 64% the field.
Okay. Paulie says he has a new poll question for the final hour.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
I've been sitting on this one. Well, you can have your choice. Right. Your alma mater, the place you went to college or the college you love, mm-hmm. I'm going to say alma mater, can win the NCAA tournament, or the professional team you love can win a title in the sport. So hypothetically, I went to Southern Illinois. My SIU Salukis could win the entire NCAA tournament, or my Chicago Bears could win a Super Bowl. Which would I pick?
Have the Bears won a Super Bowl before?
They did. I don't recall the exact
What year was that?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
But let's say you're a Dayton guy.
Yeah.
And Dayton was going to be a one seed last year.
Yeah.
That would have been sick. I mean, that's
yeah. Now they had their chance. They could have they could have won the national title last year. Yeah, McLovin.
I was about to bring up Obi Toppin is not looking good in the
NBA.
No,
he's not. No, he's not. He has not come in and made a large impact there.
But by the way, in this poll question, is winning your bracket factor in? What if you don't you root for your bracket more than you root for your team, maybe, if there's money at stake?
I've gone against my alma mater in my bracket. Yeah. I mean, this is about winning my bracket. I mean, I root for my alma mater, but this is I'm rooting for Dayton in the NIT. Yes, Eden.
This is the first year in my bracket, actually, that I didn't pick. I always felt certain pressure to pick either like my favorite schools or like say West Virginia, or if Seton Hall is in, I always have to pick them to win.
Yeah.
This is the first year that I didn't. I'll probably do a lot better.
Yeah, you did have your teams going well, but they were still good. Seton Hall was good.
West Virginia's still good.
They're always good.
They're good this year, yeah.
Yeah. Celebrity Bracket Challenge, you have an opportunity to be in the mix with us. I keep saying involved. I don't know where hey, you want to be involved in the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, go to danpatrick.com, subscribe to the newsletter. There's a link there. You can submit your brackets, and you got a little bit of time, and we'll send you the link to this year's contest, today's newsletter, plus the DP Show store has a bunch of new shirts available. A lot of people buying the Happy Dan Patrick's t-shirts yesterday. Had a good run on that yesterday. Yeah, McLovin.
We have a slight bracket issue. One of the celebrities, Edward Snowden, we're worried that he's going to break it in the back end.
Edward Snowden is not in.
He was first one in.
No, he's not. Julian Assange is in it, but not Snowden. Paulie keeps throwing out these random names, and these are the people involved in the bracket challenge, and that's not the case. Selma Hayek is not, at least right now.
Not this year.
In the bracket challenge. She's always, her brackets are always welcome. Always.
Ted Cruz, late in.
Ted Cruz is not in.
He loves basketball.
He's not in. But, the list is great. The list is a wonderful cross-section of people who've been on our show. Jimmer Fredette is sending a bracket in from China. Johnny Bench, Clayton Kershaw, Michael Strahan, Mario Lopez, Will Ferrell, Denny Hamlin's involved.
Kenny G
is not involved. John Hall of Hall & Oates is. That's still one of my favorite. John Oates. Hall is not there. Oates is in.
It's all about Oates.
Did you ask Daryl Hall?
I did.
Okay.
And then I think he found out that John Oates was in, and then he's like,
he didn't want to be. Yes.
Do you think Oates will do the comb-over bet?
So Seton has a bet. No.
No?
No. Oh.
What about Josh Duhamel? You think he would?
Well, Josh is shooting a movie with J-Lo in the Dominican Republic.
Really?
Yeah. Do you realize?
Oh, that explains it.
No.
That explains everything.
Hold on.
Dan Patrick reporting.
Hold on. Josh Duhamel, I think, took the place of Army.
A-Rod?
No.
This is like T-ball, Dan.
No, Army Hammer.
That's even more explosive.
Yes.
Army Hammer.
And J-Lo is there, and Josh Duhamel is there. A-Rod just flew into the DR, and they are together. Josh, I believe, is still seeing Miss North Dakota.
Is that like a code word? Is that like a code phrase for J-Lo?
No. No, I believe that he's still seeing Miss North Dakota.
A-Rod's got to know better.
A-Rod is there with J-Lo. They did not break up.
I'm not going there.
Thank you, A-Rod. Yes.
Can I guess the plot, by the way? She's a dog walker who's looking for love. And both her and Josh Duhamel have done this movie about 14 times.
He's a single dad.
Yeah, he's a single dad.
Got an adorable kid. A little precocious, but yeah.
She's a maid, but you know, nobody notices that she's glamorous, that she's gorgeous. But you know,
because in her private time she sings, but nobody knows that she's got this gorgeous voice. Then somebody overhears her in the hallway.
Yeah, I don't know what the storyline is on this, but Josh doesn't know this. He accidentally FaceTimed me at around 6 a.m. 2 days ago. J-Lo was not there. Somebody might have been there, but it wasn't J-Lo. I see this FaceTime come up, and I go, what the hell is Josh Duhamel FaceTiming me for?
And then real quick, you checked your face, make sure you look
good. Yes, I had to look
then
good.
Then answered it.
Yeah. Hi, Josh. Yeah. But he did send us a video of him picking his brackets. And I was watching, I don't know if it was Access Hollywood or Entertainment Tonight. Well, both of them last night. And J-Lo, they had pictures of J-Lo on her porch balcony where she's staying in the Dominican Republic. And A-Rod was there and, you know, they got pictures of them. Well, Josh Duhamel must be next door or one door down because Josh's pictures that he sent us, the video, it looks just like where J-Lo is staying. So I'm guessing that they're right there in the same vicinity.
You're just feeding the flames. I mean, like the people, Harvey Levin, Entertainment Tonight, loving this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, TMZ. Yeah, see.
It's just a budgetary cut that they're sharing the same suite.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah, but A-Rod and J-Lo, from what I'm told, you know, I have sources. I got sources that can tell you about the Russell Wilson deal. But more importantly, I have sources tell you about A-Rod and J-Lo. That they are still together.
Who's still with their significant other next year? Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, J-Lo, and A-Rod. Who would you bet on? That's a hot poll question.
Oh, wow. Well, I always believe in love. So Russell and the Seahawks will be together. No, I hope that A-Rod, you know, for the kids, that A-Rod and J-Lo, that it works out. But, yeah, I have a source that says that they did not break up. They need a little separation time. And that they're so intertwined with their business and their kids that it would be very difficult for them to separate, to break up. And I always root for love. Yes, McLovin.
A-Rod went from Seattle to Dallas, which is on Russell's list, and then New York. Mm. So maybe this is a signal to Jets.
No, it's not. All righty. Welcome to the program, already in progress. We'll talk to Peter Schrager. He's the NFL insider for the NFL Network. He'll join us coming up. Cardinals are getting better, I think. They're getting a little older, but they're getting better. Got A.J. Green. Kyle Van Noy goes back to the Patriots. So some interesting stuff there. Did find out that the Seahawks basically had their pick of whoever they wanted on the Bears roster with those two players. And they're, as we found out, that it was truth. You know, three first-round picks, a third-round pick, and then two players. And it turns out it's any two players that they wanted on the roster. And Seattle decided that they didn't want anybody or didn't want that deal. I don't know where you go from there. If you don't even counter. That's what I don't understand. If you're going to listen to the Bears, but you don't even counter, why listen to the Bears in the first place? Because that's not your best offer that you're going to receive. But we'll see. We'll see if Seattle and Pete Carroll find something that's really interesting here. We've gotten through the first wave of NFL free agency and plenty of headlines. But now we're about ready to start shifting our focus to April. And that's the draft. You know, the trade market could heat up leading up to the draft. Deshaun Watson is in limbo right now with what's going on off the field with lawsuits. And Russell Wilson is still a Seahawk. We'll see if those situations change. Sam Darnold is still in the mix. Jets have publicly supported their young quarterback. But you look at a mock draft and you see the Jets at number two taking Zach Wilson out of BYU. And a lot of football people will say that teams should use free agency to fill holes and then try to acquire the best players in the draft. And you got to figure out, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Your roster is a jigsaw puzzle. The truth is, we all probably overreact to everything that happens in the offseason because the moves feel big now. They always do in March. Maybe not as much in September. But it keeps us busy as the NFL's long offseason continues. I like the Washington football team. I'm not embarrassed to say that publicly. I like the roster. I would like to have a different quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you said I had a young quarterback there, they got a good defense. They got some skilled position players. I like Ron Rivera. I don't like ownership. But they have the potential. That scary word. They truly have the potential to do something. And I'm talking about being a formidable team. I truly believe that. They brought in Curtis Samuel. They signed him from Carolina. They have weapons. And maybe Washington's not done. But if you said that they had a younger quarterback there, even Sam Darnold. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's a great story, but you know, we've told the story. He can go 4-0 or he can go 0-4. But I do think Washington has something there. But you don't have anything unless you have that marquee quarterback. They have pieces there. But I don't know, you know, they're too far down first round or what they could offer, maybe moving up to get somebody, but they could be formidable here. They could be that a sneaky team. But Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't scare people. He just would be better at being that guy, like he was with Tua, that he can help you. And he's always going to be ready to play, serviceable. But if you had a younger quarterback in there, I like what Washington is doing, believe it or not. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We spent some time in the first hour talking about Deshaun Watson. I don't know how many lawsuits he's going to have. It sounds like he could have multiple, somewhere between 4 and 6. No criminal charges have been filed yet. NFL might investigate. And that could take months. If he's not dealt by April 29th, first day of the draft, does this drag on into the regular season? You got Tyrod Taylor. That's your insurance. And can you listen to offers now? If I'm making an offer to Deshaun Watson, I'm going to certainly reduce it than what I might have offered a week ago. But you're going to try to maximize everything you can. If you have to trade him, he's 25, he's under contract through 2025, and what are you willing to give up for a guy right now that you're not sure? Is he going to be suspended? The fact that these are civil lawsuits, do they go away if he pays, if he's guilty? Just the trade market. It's got to reduce the number of teams that would be interested in Deshaun Watson, or at least right now. You know, because the process has been going. The question is, when does Houston decide? You know, is this the time where Houston goes, now we have to get rid of him? And if you're a team that has been interested in him, you're not going to give them fair market value. At least I don't think so. Let me see. Ray in Wisconsin. Hi, Ray. What's on your mind today? Hey, Ray. Bye, Ray. Bears beats The Office on Peacock every episode. The Office free starting today through March 24th. Whether you know every quote or you're new to Scranton, you'll find something to love. Sign up at peacocktv.com and start streaming now. NCAA tournament, it starts at around 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. Right, Todd, I believe?
The first one's a little after 5 o'clock, and then they go all the way. The final game is just before 10 o'clock, Michigan State, UCLA, a little before 10 Eastern.
Yeah, who would have thought? If I would have said years ago, hey, by the way, Michigan State, UCLA play-in game, you probably would have thought, well, with UCLA, maybe you would have said, oh, okay, Michigan State? No way. Because Michigan State's one of those teams that you probably can't name more than one player in the lineup. You just know Tom Izzo. And based off that, you go, God, I like Michigan State. Yeah, Paul.
How many people, though, around America are going to turn on CBS or Turner Sports or TNT at 12:05 p.m. Eastern, and where are the games?
Yeah, yep. Tomorrow is when the tournament officially starts. Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I've seen a couple of ESPN experts say Michigan State's headed in the right direction. Like, they're dangerous. I think a lot of the experts have them as like a dark horse you want to pick. If you Google dark horses you want to pick, Michigan State comes up first.
Okay.
But, and I, by the way, on our bracket, you get UCLA and Michigan State as a package if you fill it out. So it says UCLA. So it's like a 2-for-1 deal, in my opinion.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to win.
I mentioned Indiana basketball, that here you have March Madness there in that basketball crazy state. And you have games in Bloomington, and you don't have the Hoosiers playing in the tournament. And I had a source who was talking about who Indiana is interested in, might get. I was told Scott Drew is not getting the job at Indiana, the Baylor head coach. I was told that Brad Stevens not leaving the Celtics. Tony Bennett was a name that came up. Chris Beard at Texas Tech, that looking for maybe disciples of Bob Knight, and Beard was with Bob Knight at Texas Tech. Tony Bennett, Tony Bennett's father, good friends with Bob Knight. I don't know why they're beholden to Bob Knight, but the new president, I guess, worked with Bob Knight at Texas Tech. But, okay, that doesn't mean I'm going to hire a Bob Knight disciple, but, you know, maybe they do. But Dane Fife, he's a, like an associate head coach, former player. He's at Michigan State. He'd be maybe a dark horse there. But imagine that. Indiana basketball, the tournament's there. They're playing basketball games, tournament games on your floor, and you're nowhere to be seen. Since reaching the national title game in 2002, losing to Maryland, Indiana has not gone as far as the Elite Eight. Since that run, Indiana has more years that they've missed the tournament, 10, than NCAA tournament games won, which is 9.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
A little harsh there, but that is your stat of the day. I don't pick them, I just read them. All right, we'll take a break. Peter Schrager will join us coming up. Who is winning free agency so far? And is Deshaun Watson, who's more likely to get traded now, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? So we'll talk to Peter. Your phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Take a break. Coming up on 19 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, and that's pretty amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We just showed Denny Hamlin, NASCAR's great driver, he sent in his bracket. And Paulie noticed that Denny Hamlin was in his garage, his NASCAR garage. A couple of cars in there and a big 70-inch TV. Will Ferrell just said, I really want that 70-inch TV screen. He just sent me an email. Did Will send in his bracket yet, Fritzy?
He did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, USC's in the tournament, so I figured that Will would want to be in the bracket challenge. Let me see. What do I have here? Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond whether vans stop short. Their customization options, cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. The play-in games, the first four, as they like to call it. Texas Southern and Mount St. Mary starts at 5 o'clock today on True TV. TBS has Drake and Wichita State at 6:27. Appalachian State and Norfolk at 8:40 on True TV, and then TBS has UCLA Michigan State tonight at 9:57. Peter Schrager, the NFL Network Good Morning Football co-host and a senior national writer. went to Emory University. Has Emory ever made the tournament, Peter?
Division III team. They've had their moments, but not at the Division I. Can I tell you, I am such a fool, Dan. I was so excited to have like a pizza and a beer at noon Eastern and watch all the – I just found out literally this morning. Like literally this morning that they're doing this staggered thing, and I texted Ian Eagle. I'm like, what game are you on today? And he's like, dude –
yeah, you're out of touch. How did you who do you have winning, by the way?
I had my four-year-old son do my bracket. He likes Maryland because they wore yellow one time.
Okay,
so we're gonna go with Maryland.
That's a gutsy call, but
went for it.
Yeah, whatever your philosophy is. All right, how would you sum up this week of free agency?
Kind of fun. Like the Patriots thing, I can't talk enough about. I got Belichick behind me on my screen here. I think that they zig when everyone else zags, and I'm here for it. The salary cap is down $15 million. A lot of these teams are preparing for it to go up $15 million. So think about that $30 million differential. So all of them thought they were doing one strategy. Let's just be smart with our money and wait these players out. And Belichick pounced. It's almost like he saw a market inefficiency. I'm fascinated to see how this works out. This is against everything he has been about for 20 years as a head coach and personnel man. But they broke the bank, and they got some good talent. I don't know if they got any A-plus talent, but they certainly are relevant again in the AFC. And I just thought the strategy was so interesting from Belichick.
Is he building an offense that it suits Cam Newton?
Yeah, that I mean, those tight ends, that's what that's telling me. That's telling me we got to get additional blocking, and we're also going to get that 10 to 15 yard intermediary stuff, and we're not looking for you to throw that deep. I don't know if Cam Newton can throw the ball 15 yards anymore. I honestly don't. I didn't see it towards the end of the season. But when you have all these guys like Janu and then Edelman, and then now you add in Hunter Henry, who I think could be fantastic, you've got big bodies who can run the intermediary routes and can block. So
yeah, but if you have guys that, like, I don't understand this. Why are you set at quarterback if you got a quarterback who can't throw?
I don't know if they think they're set at quarterback. They have a quarterback, and these guys play to his suit, you know, suit his stuff. So at the very near term, their offense got significantly better over the last 4 days than they were last year. And I think it's a bit of not humble pie, but like, for years, Belichick didn't do this. And one of the reasons why was like, you build through the draft, you let your free agents sign elsewhere, and then you get the compensatory picks, and you get a bunch of third and fourth round picks, and we can draft a Gronk or an Aaron Hernandez, or whatever. They've whiffed in the draft the last few years with the third and fourth round picks. So essentially, he's like, we're not going to get big compensatory picks from the free agents that are leaving, because no one really besides Joe Tooney is a big name. So let's just do it. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get them. I just don't know if Aguilar and Bourne necessarily make this wide receivers group what they have down in Tampa Bay overnight.
And you got some wide receivers who are still out there. You know, Kenny Golladay, Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller. Where do you see – could they be changing the structure of – the power structure in the NFL?
I think a lot of these guys and their agents are waking up on a Thursday morning a little – bewildered, surprised, and now having to readjust what they expected. Look, Kenny Golladay was offered a really handsome two-year deal by the Lions during the season. He turned it away because he wanted to hit free agency. His agent, Todd France, is the same agent as Dak Prescott. He said, let's bet on ourselves and you'll get more money elsewhere. Well, I don't know if that money's there right now. And now Kenny Golladay, who was viewed as the top wide receiver talent, is having to get on a plane. He's going to the Giants want to meet him before they do anything. They want to speak with him in person. The Bengals offered him something, for what I'm told, but it's the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's a one-year prove-it deal. Like, wow. I think it's just kind of shocking for a lot of these wide receivers. And for Juju, look, I got accused of being one of those people who was yelling at a cloud when I was like, I don't like the TikTok dancing before a game, and I don't necessarily like the dancing on a logo before a game. Look, everyone rocked me then in December and was like, you are being just a media hater or whatever. Juju Smith-Schuster, the line is not long right now. And I think the first impression for a lot of these GMs is like, I don't know if I need all that. It seems like a lot. Even though he's a good player, he's a great kid, and he's 24 years old. So the story from Ian Rapoport this morning was that the Jets are a possibility. And the Jets have had conversations with Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know if it's one of those deals where the Jets are on day three banging down the door and being like, wait, Juju's available? Let's go get him. So I think Juju, Golladay, Fuller, and their agents are a little surprised and might not have been expecting this to be the market.
Arizona got older. Did they get better?
I don't know. I think so, and I think it's not because of Watt and Green. I think the name Rodney Hudson isn't a household name, but he's a 32-year-old center that the Raiders couldn't afford anymore, and they traded him. 60 cents on the dollar to the Cardinals, and they know the time is now for the Cardinals. Kyler Murray's a running quarterback. Kyler Murray is one of these guys that is going to get injured time to time if you don't protect him. It happened last year in a week 17 when they needed him most. He wasn't available, and they had to go to a CFL retread as their quarterback against the Rams in that must win. So Hudson protects him. At the very least, they're making moves. They're aggressive. J.J. Watt, A.J. I like even the kicker. They went and got Matt Prater, who's a reliable kicker. Zane Gonzalez missed a bunch last year. I appreciate teams that say, I know salary cap's not ideal, but let's go spend the money and we can make no excuses. Like, let's bring them in. I respect that. They were a few players away last year. They went and they at least made the attempts to get them. That NFC West, though, that's a loaded division.
Peter Schrager, NFL Network, Good Morning Football co-host. Explain to me the situation with the Bears and the Seahawks, that you get the two GMs together and you make your offer. Usually when you make an offer for a house, they counter your offer. And in this case, they just listened to the offer, took it back to Pete Carroll, and then Pete said no, and then that's it. Why did they listen to the Bears' offer in the first place, Peter?
Yeah, so I'm looking at a Billy Ripken famous card that's in front of you. If I was sitting here just on my couch or whatever, and you said, or your agent said publicly, we would love my Billy Ripken card to go to one of four cities, and one of them is where Peter Schrager resides, I would probably be like, whoa, okay, I want that Billy Ripken card. I'll call up, I'll inquire. The agent, Mark Rogers, dropped this out of nowhere, saying there are going to be four teams that he would waive his no trade clause for. The Bears never expected Russell Wilson in their plans, but once that came out, they were like, let's go, let's do it, let's go for it. And they tried really hard. And when they were all together out in Fargo, North Dakota last week for Trey Lance's pro day, I can tell you there were conversations had with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy from the Bears, with John Schneider from the Seahawks. And the conversations were made and they didn't go anywhere. And Schneider's like, we're not trading him. So when he goes on your show, Dan, and he says comments about, and look, Russell Wilson might someday be a part of the Peacock family, and he might be a great ambassador. He doesn't usually come on and say anything controversial. We know that. Yeah. When he comes out and he says his offensive line, he'd like to see more investment on your show and make it public, people in Seattle might have been like, wait, what? Especially that offensive line. So you put these things together, Chicago had every right to go and make the most aggressive pitch. But at the end of the day, they didn't have a quarterback to trade back to Seattle. So Seattle's listening. And it's, okay, you can give us 16 first-round picks and Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith and the rights to Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary. Who's playing quarterback next year for Seattle? Just didn't make sense. So I get criticized today being like, oh, you made a big fuss over nothing. Look, when the agent comes on the record and lists four teams, and when the player who usually says nothing comes on the Dan Patrick Show and says things about his offensive line, there was something. There's something indeed there.
Oh, no, it's there. Absolutely. But the question is, why would you listen to the Bears' offer unless you want to set the market that this is, we turned this down, so you better be ready to go. It feels like they have to expand their list there of possible destinations for Russell if he truly wants out. I was told, keep an eye on free agency. Will they do enough in free agency where Russell Wilson goes, okay, that's at least a step in the right direction. But
all right, well, Dan, we're 3 days in, and they've made a trade for Gabe Jackson from the Raiders, who is fine, while Joe Tooney was just signed to a 5-year, $80 million deal in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Rodney Hudson was just traded to protect Kyler Murray. And then you look at all the other top interior offensive linemen. Corey Linsley was just signed by the Chargers. Like, I know that the Cardinals and the Chargers and the Chiefs are doing whatever it takes to protect their quarterbacks. I don't, it's not like, hey, Russell Wilson went public with that offensive line talk and all that. Seahawks, it's almost as if Schneider and Carroll are like, we're not going to suddenly rip up our entire team to go and address your needs. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to build a football team. I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. But to your point, maybe the door isn't shut on a trade just yet. But the Bears one, I rest assured, the Bears made every possible offer they could even think of. Seahawks weren't making a trade with the Bears.
No, yeah, we always look at a trade from one angle. We always go, God, Russ going to the Bears, and then I'll go, well, what's Seattle getting? Yeah. Well, they're getting draft picks. Well, those aren't high draft picks. You're getting Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. Okay, how does that address their quarterbacking situation? Now, if you said, hey, the Jets are giving you the second pick overall,
yep,
and okay, you got my attention. Because now I take Zach Wilson, if I believe in him. Now I got my quarterback, rookie contract. Now I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. Miami, I get Tua, and I'm going to get the third pick overall, and I'm going to get Devontae Smith if I want. All right, I like that. The Bears didn't have anything to offer that would intrigue Seattle from an offensive perspective there. So,
and the worst thing that the Bears had going for them is that they had this mediocre season and made the playoffs. So they have the 20th.
Yeah.
Pick. You know, it's like, it's not like they get any accolades or any pats on the back for going to the wild card round and getting blown out by Drew Brees and the Saints. I also will go one step further here. It's like, you know, the Panthers have the 8th pick. The Eagles have the 6th pick. There are teams that make it really, you know, interesting for a trade for a quarterback that could maybe be the third team in. But to your point about what are we getting back, you'd be amazed, and maybe you wouldn't because you deal with this for 30 years, but I'm putting together trade offers and possibilities on Good Morning Football, the show on NFL Network, and I'm like, all right, so say the Jets offer the number 2 pick, and they offer Sam Darnold, and they offer Quinnen Williams. The amount of Jets fans that jump down your throat, like, we're not giving up Quinnen Williams.
Yes, you will.
Like we're not giving up Quinnen Williams. No. And then you do the Dolphins, and you're like, all right, you give up Tua, and you also give up Devontae Parker, and then you also give up Christian Wilkins. We're not giving up all that. It's like the
same thing comes from the other side of it. The fans, you know, they don't want to give up the thing. So trades are really hard. And for quarterbacks, you got to give up everything to get one of these guys.
Yeah, and that's where, if I'm Russ, I don't want to go to a Bears team that just gave up all of this to get me. Like, that doesn't make any sense because you're going to go and you're going to go to a team that's inferior. Hey, I get to have a say in what we do, and I like Matt Nagy's play calling. That ain't enough for me to go to the Bears. I want to go to a team where we're actually going to be good and not give up as much as, you know, we should. Deshaun Watson, with what's going on now, it's going to be harder to trade him. But do you feel like the Texans now are more likely to trade him given what's gone on?
Well, let's see how that all plays out. It's ugly. But his stock, if you will, I almost feel like I'm talking about the two topics in the same, you know, breath is almost minimizing what's been accused. But the stock certainly isn't as high as it was a week ago. And, you know, you double down on it. David Culley, the new head coach, was doing a lot of media last week. Comes across as a really likable guy, a really open and honest guy, and it was very vulnerable. It was like, I want to coach Deshaun Watson. I really do. I just wish he would, you know, it didn't say it, but in so many words, like, I wish he would give us a shot. And so you start putting these things together and you're like, all right, so they gave you $150 million last year. You know, you guys won 4 games. I don't know what happened with what made you so upset, but the coach is saying he wants to have you here. Like, I don't know. At some point, the tide was going to turn against Deshaun Watson in this conversation and be like, maybe you do give that team a shot. Maybe you be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. And, you know, they do have a new coach and new GM. Maybe you consider that. So now I think it's really interesting the way that the conversations about the Deshaun Watson trade go. And I'm not sure if he's as, you know, whatever it is as a trade asset, if this story continues to take on the next levels of where it goes, because it certainly makes it a lot more complicated than it was when it was just, hey, here's a 25-year-old superstar on the Houston Texans who wants to trade.
Yeah, and if I'm offering something, now I'm going to probably reduce that. You know, it feels like that the value has been reduced here. And look, I don't mean to diminish what is happening off the field.
You're not.
But
you're
my job is to talk about the sports angle of this.
That's exactly right. And for a lot of these GMs, whereas they might have been like, oh my God, gung-ho, Deshaun Watson. Now maybe they see all these reports. They see it's still trending on Twitter. They read all the legal papers, and they're like, hey, look, I don't have to make this trade. Maybe it's just not worth all of my agita, and maybe it's not worth me getting involved in this, and that's someone else's problem, not mine.
Is Gardner Minshew going to land someplace interesting?
You know, it's funny. There are trade talks going on, and maybe Minshew's got a second chapter, but I don't know if he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL this year. What I love seeing is Mike Glennon, you know, he's signing a new deal. It's like, all right, these guys have lives. They have 9
lives.
It's amazing. If you could be a backup quarterback and a likable dude in the locker room, like, there's a place for you if you're willing to be that number 2.
Chase Daniel.
Another guy. Really wealthy.
He might be one of the greatest preseason quarterbacks of all time.
Always delivers in like the second half of that third game. Second half of that third preseason game, Chase Daniel will put up numbers.
He'll light it up.
He will. Always.
We need to do fantasy football preseason.
We should. I remember Cleo Lemon for the Chargers, not the Dolphins, but when he's on the Chargers, I lit it up in the fourth quarter. I'm like, Cleo Lemon, love it.
Good luck with your bracket there.
I'm going real, real big on North Texas because my son likes the nickname the Mean Green. So let's go, North Texas.
Yep. Hey, different strategies. You know,
they're not nice.
You're either first place or last place, Peter.
You're right. I'm in.
Yeah, all in. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
That's Peter Schrager, host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football that airs Monday through Friday at 7 Eastern. You can follow him on Twitter at P. Schregs. Take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. And legendary sportscaster Jim Brockmeyer join us on the program tomorrow. Filled out his bracket. He's in the bracket challenge. The legendary sportscaster Jim Brockmeyer. Joe in Montana. Joe in Montana joins us. Hi, Joe.
Dan, how are you?
Great, Joe.
Hey, shout out to my brother, Nate. He called the show yesterday to wish me a happy birthday and thought maybe you were just a touch hard out in there, Dan.
Yep. My bad, Joe. You know, I did say to your brother, Nate, why don't you just call Joe and wish him a happy birthday? Did he?
Well, I tried. I was, you know, out of cell service. It's Montana, so I did have the radio though and caught it, and
well,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I roughed up your brother a little bit there. I just said, you know, when my brother turns 70 at the end of the month, I'm not going to call Nate in Oklahoma and tell him about it. But
sure, well, give me a call. I'll call your brother for you. Be great.
You know what I'm going to do, Joe, the old-fashioned way? I'm going to call my brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And make sure Nate does that next year. He just calls you directly to say happy birthday instead of
going through the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pass that along.
But happy birthday, Joe.
Well, Dan, appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. We're huge fans of the show. So
thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
That's Joe. His brother Nate called in yesterday to wish his brother a happy birthday. And I thought, why not just call your brother in Montana? It seemed kind of simple.
Not a lot of cell phone service there in Bozeman.
Yeah, apparently not.
I don't know what you're telling me for. Shouldn't you be calling your brother?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, hey, Dan, I just want to say happy birthday to my brother and call him. Yeah, just go ahead and call him. It's like when people put things on Facebook, you know, where they say, you know, my wife and love of my life, and just tell her.
My shining light?
Yeah, just tell her.
She's in the next room.
Yeah, she's probably in the kitchen. You know, just go in there and say, hey, you're the light of my life, instead of putting it out on Facebook. I don't do Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, any of that stuff. I'm on MySpace, I think, right now. But I don't have to let everybody know what I feel, do I? Am I missing out? Yeah, Paul.
Dan, the pressure for a husband to put a collage of pictures on your anniversary or your wife's birthday is immense.
Yeah.
And post it with some type of the most special moment of my life.
Yeah.
This beautiful bride.
Mm.
I was lucky enough to marry my best friend 10 years ago. Has been.
Just buy her something.
Yeah. My wife's birthday is next month. I just going to buy her something.
You're taking on our trip, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I got something.
And on trip, you'll probably tell her that you love her.
Mm. You better start teasing the guess whose birthday month it is.
Yeah.
That's driving me. And all of a sudden, your birthday has become birth month.
Like it's Mardi Gras.
Guess whose birthday month it is. Guess whose birthday week it is. What week?
Week is, that has entered my household.
Week?
Yeah.
What are we doing this week for my birthday? I don't know. I'll tell you when we get to your birthday.
Yeah, I told my wife, honey, it's not Mardi Gras. It doesn't last a week. It's just one day. It's your birthday. That's it. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm comfortable with a week because I never have the presents ready by that day. So it can be an excuse to give presents late.
Yeah. It just feels like you're setting yourself up for failure.
But what's your take on gift certificates as presents for your wife? I'm just curious.
I would just give my wife money.
Well, no, I'm required to give gift certificates. She's like, I don't want to have to deal with returning the shirt you got that I don't want to wear. Mm. So just give me the gift certificate.
Okay.
She's very blunt about it.
Like, I didn't know if it was gift certificate to like TGI Fridays where you can go in and then you can
Applebee's.
Applebee's.
Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, like a gift certificate.
No, she's got this one favorite clothing store.
Yeah.
You don't do that? I'm getting the sense that that's not your style.
She would rather that I picked it out and it was wrong than if I just said, here, go get what you want. Yes, Todd.
My wife and Paulie has warned me like not to forfeit. She keeps saying she doesn't want anything. And I've obliged on a few occasions. Everything was fine. I didn't get an attitude or anything. But you wonder in the back of your mind if that was not the way to go. You know, I'll do like, you know, roses and...
Wait, you'd get your wife nothing?
We'll go out for a nice dinner and roses and stuff. But as far as recently, we haven't done like any gifting for each other's birthdays or even anniversaries. Because in the early days, I'd get her all kinds of jewelry and stuff. And now I guess, you know, she just doesn't want any of this. Or she doesn't trust my taste in whatever I would get her.
So you're the gift?
I'm the gift. How about that?
But you can't return it.
Cannot return it.
Yeah. You don't want to unwrap it.
She's just in an awful state right now. Kind of stuck in the mud.
Yeah, when a woman says she doesn't, you don't have to get me anything. You have to get her something. Yeah, you do. Because they don't want to say, oh, you got to get me something. So then they go the other way and they go, no, you don't have to get me anything. Trust me, when they say that.
Trap.
Yeah, get him something. It's just code. It's not a trap. It's just code.
Well, if it's a game like to see if you're actually going to take them up on the offer to not get them anything, then there's some kind of something cute behind that. Testing you.
Well, you haven't been buying your wife anything. So
we had a stretch where I was probably buying too much, and now everything is balanced out.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
Now, 1892, Frederick Arthur, Lord Stanley of Preston, announced he had purchased a trophy to be presented to the hockey champion of Canada. Stanley's Cup.
Okay. Lord Stanley.
There it is. That's, I want to give him his own day. 1892. He's no longer with us, unfortunately.
Lord Stanley. Todd, what'd you learn on today's program?
The polarizing figure that is Ben Simmons has gone from 0% to 37% from three-point land.
McLovin.
Peter Schrager had his son fill out his bracket. I don't know. It sounded like an excuse.
Yes, it did. Seton O'Connor.
Todd doesn't buy his wife any gifts.
Yeah.
Flowers.
The bar mitzvah video. Never forget.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Get your brackets in. Go to danpatrick.com. We'll close up shop. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, but wait, there's one more. It's Built Bar, salted caramel, mint brownie, cookies and cream, coconut. In fact, if I just started out by saying salted caramel, mint brownie, cookies and cream, coconut, you probably wouldn't be thinking I'd be talking about a protein bar, right? I am. High protein, low sugar, low calorie. And normally when you have these protein bars and you take a bite and you go, it tastes like sawdust. Check out all the delicious flavors at BuiltBar.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP20. You're going to get 20% off your first order. And when you get them, make sure you put them under lock and key, because once everybody realizes these protein bars taste like candy bars, they don't last. I've learned firsthand. Check them all out, all the flavors that they have. BuiltBar.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP20. That'll get you 20% off your first order. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20. Good luck.